This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. We are, as of today, into the second week of the UN's climate conference in Paris. If, and it's not a small if here, but if we have a deal on this thing by Friday, countries will, in no particular order, formalize their individual pledges to cut greenhouse gas emissions. They will promise to be transparent in doing so along the way. They will agree to pay for poor countries to be able to afford new sources of energy, and they will lock in future meetings on this to keep themselves honest. It is, however, one thing to promise to overhaul the world's energy economy. It is, in reality, quite another. Scott Tong of our sustainability desk is on the line to discuss. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Kai.
Let me start with a what if, all right? Mm. Let's say, come the end of this week, they wrap things up in a neat little bow and they say, ready, switch from fossil fuels. How long is that going to take?
And these things always go perfectly,
yes,
as you know. Well, right now, we live in a world where 80% of the energy the world gets comes from coal or oil or gas. That's according to the International Energy Agency. So how quickly could we turn all that over? On a super-duper optimistic end, we could do it in 30 years.
Ooh,
there's a study out there that says, okay, if you took every piece of the energy infrastructure, power plant lasts 30, 40, 50 years, car lasts 15 or 20 years, let it live its natural life, die a natural death, and replace it with a carbon-free energy source, perhaps in 3 or 4 decades, you could do that, intellectually.
Okay, what about realistically then? I mean, give me the flip side of the coin.
Let's look at a little history and what that's taught us. Let's talk about coal for a second. It first came on the scene as a replacement for wood made fire at the start of the 18th century.
Okay.
It took about 5 decades for it to go mainstream, and 200 years later today,
wow,
it might be peaking,
wow,
right? So we're 2 centuries into the coal age. Oil is the relative newbie, only a century and a half of oil. Today's wind and solar technologies came from ideas that were proven in the 40s and 50s. So orders of magnitude, we're talking about decades, centuries.
Wow.
I spoke this morning with energy historian Christopher Jones at Arizona State University, and he says it's not just energy eras are long. Every new energy we've seen so far has been layered one on top of the old one. He calls it additive.
And so one of our central challenges right now is to pioneer a different type of energy transition, one that's not simply focused on increasing the role of renewables, but one that actually thinks about how to wean off of coal and oil and natural gas.
Well, how does that weaning happen, though, right? Because that is, no matter what the circumstance, it's never an easy process.
And I don't know if we've ever done it before, to wean off of an energy source. Now, Jones and other historians say the key is policy. Mm. Much of the inertia for today's energy system is hardware and laws and subsidies making the incumbent fossil fuels a good money-making investment. So now today we have proven affordable solar energy, wind energy, but Jones says technology does not equal destiny. So to push them into the market, you'd need new policies and rules to steer to the outcomes you want. You know, for instance, subsidizing new energy production, renewables, putting a price on carbon emissions. So, you know, right now we all dump our CO2 trash in the atmosphere for free. We should start to pay for it. That's the idea.
One last thing, Scott, and then I'm going to let you go. The economy today moves a bajillion miles an hour, as we talk about all the time. It seems like what you're telling me is that the energy economy, it just can't keep up. It's not moving fast enough.
When we talk about the economy, right, we talk about the business cycle, it's years, maybe it's a decade long, right? That's what a business cycle is. With energy, there's all this inertia in the system keeping stuff out there for a long time, right? My car's on its 17th year. Cars are going to be on the road for 20 years. Power plants are sitting there for 40, 50 years. There are a billion cars in the world that have to turn over. That's the kind of inertia that's in the system now, which is why turning it over is going to take that much time.
Scott Tong at the Sustainability Desk in Washington. Thank you, Scott.
Okay, you're welcome.